The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, John Babb and Gareth Topham in the studio. We have three meetings to look forward to on Tuesday: Exeter, Kempton and Southwell. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Right, what we're going to do is we're going to do the Monday Jury to start with, where we'll look back on the weekend, a few classic clues emerging at the weekend, and then we'll look ahead to Tuesday's racing. Mick's gone to Exeter for his three. So starting with the Monday Jury, Mick, the first question is around the 2,000 guineas, and it's, is the 2,000 guineas a fait accompli following Kingman's Greenham display? So is it a case of Kingman's already got the job done, in your opinion?
It would have to take a very special horse to beat him at Newmarket, I think, Mark. If we can believe the evidence of our own eyes, the way he just left them for dead in a very short space of time, given a very confident ride by James Doyle, and he looks the real deal.
He does, yes, and the betting is interesting for the 2,000 guineas, because before the race he was 5-1. Immediately after the race we went 2-1 about him. He shortened yesterday into 6-4, that's on Sunday, and on Monday, as we record this, even money for the 2,000 guineas.
Yeah, it was an astonishing price straight after the Greenham. I think it's just that the Greenham's fallen out of favour, isn't it? It's a little bit as a classic trial, but I mean, Frankel won it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's slightly reminiscent of him, isn't he?
Yeah.
The way he demolishes brutally demolishes his opponents.
Yes, it was very Frankel. It was, you know, it was up there, maybe even more impressive than Frankel's performance in the Greenham. So if he goes on, I mean, we won't see a 2,000 guineas performance like Frankel ever again, I don't think, but Kingman's up there, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Australia is the second in the betting. He would need to be something special now, wouldn't he, to get near him? And we see Tormore this week, we'll find out a little bit more.
Yeah,
about
that's right. It'd be interesting to see Tormore. Australia looks more of a derby horse to me, and sort of derby horses don't win the guineas, do they? But Kingman's the one they've all got to beat.
No. Okay. Kingman then looking strong going into the 2,000 guineas. Let's move on to the 1,000 guineas, the fillies version. And could any of the Fred Darling principles make a splash in the 1,000 guineas, Mick?
I think the winner was very eye-catching, the way she travelled throughout the race. Contrarying Ken Pitterson in the paddock, doing the paddock beforehand, said she still hadn't come in her coat. And he thought there was plenty to work on her. So, and she did very good fractions as well. Don't underestimate the performance in the Fred Darling of Jay Wonder. Filly I did like last year, and hard to see her not being in the front three in the 1,000 guineas.
Okay, the Fred Darling hasn't produced a 1,000 guineas winner for a number of years now, Mick. And the fact that Brian Meehan wasn't exactly jumping with joy at the prospect of going to Newmarket after the race, he didn't seem committed to going to the race. Does that put you off at all?
Yeah, I still think the likes of Rizina and Co are going to be very hard to beat. But I always did like Jay Wonder, and I mean, a lot of these trainers nowadays don't go for the classics. Don't go for the classics trials, do they? They just go straight for the big one, and you know, it's somewhat difficult to evaluate them as are they worthless or not. All you can see is what you saw on the track. The time was good. The performance was good. Her coat hadn't come. She can only be a better filly in 3 weeks' time than she was last Saturday, and she cannot be out the first three.
Okay, well, 16-1 in the betting at the
moment.
So
yeah,
worth an each way tickle on that.
Yeah,
Rizina, you mentioned her as well. She's 92 favourite.
Yeah, absolutely likeable filly, Rizina, and you know, but as I say, we won't know which way she's gone from 2 to 3 until we see her. Well, at least we know Jay Wonder has gone the right way.
Yeah, at least you've got that evidence from this season on your side as well, yeah. Okay, on to the third question then. What classic prospects do Navan winners Fascinating Rock, Dazzling and Palace have?
For some reason, they moved the Ballysacks to Navan. I don't know what on earth that was all about. It used to be traditionally at Leopardstown, didn't it? Mm. And it's still represents a good trial, because it's no gimme, isn't Navan, and there was a lot to like about Fascinating Rock. I think I think maybe more of an Irish derby horse, do you think, Mark?
Yeah, maybe so. I think so at the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Dermot Weld keep him over there and go for the Irish Derby.
Yeah. Dazzling, there was a lot to like about her winning the Salsa Bowl. And she should, again, maybe Irish Oaks or maybe even a trip to Epsom for her.
Mm-hmm.
And Palace was very impressive visually. So if she stays at home and goes for her 1,000 guineas, she's going to be there or thereabouts as well, isn't she?
Mm. Interesting what Pat Smolin says as well. He was on board Fascinating Rock, and he said he was very pleased with his performance and has plenty of potential. If he can improve again, he'll be fully deserving of his place in a classic. So good noises from the jockey as well.
Yeah, and the stable couldn't have got the season off to a better start.
No, they're flying, aren't they? Mm. Okay, I'm with the Aidan O'Brien horse is slow to start as well. If Dermot Weld's horse is a little bit in front, it's only 3 weeks away, isn't it? So
absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, which three-year-old yet to run this year are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, well, Joe Lyon's a great pal of mine. I know he's absolutely thrilled to bits with the Obliterator. I think he makes his seasonal reappearance sometime soon over the next few days. He won his Curragh Maiden last September, I think it was, very impressively. And they're going to be aiming him high, I think, Mark. But if Joe thinks he's up to it, he's got to be taken seriously. So watch out for Obliterator.
Okay. Mine's not very original, but I'm looking forward to seeing Tomo this week just to see how he's going to contend with Kingman. I think it'd be quite interesting to see if he can make a statement as well, because then we'd really be warming up towards the 2,000 guineas, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. And of course, on the subject of three-year-olds we haven't seen yet, Free Eagle, who, of course, we know that the world team think the world of. He goes for the Devonstown Stud Derby Trial at Leopardstown next month. And I think they're hoping for great things for him.
OK. Pat Smullen, who obviously rides him as well.
Fascinating time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, gives him a good word as well. Yeah, it is a fascinating time of year. Give us the winner for the new £1 million card at Lingfield this Friday.
This is easy. Tarouk, every time he turns up at Lingfield, he wins, isn't he?
Yep.
3 from 3, CD. And he's going again this weekend.
Okay, nice and easy. Tarouk then for making that one. And what are your thoughts on Good Friday racing, Mick? Are you for or against it?
Well, I think it makes absolute sense. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? People are off work. It's a bank holiday. Why not go racing? You know, it's a dark day otherwise, isn't it? What are you going to do? So I think we should embrace it and people are going to work anyway. We're working anyway. Stable staff have to work anyway, do with their horses and stuff. So it's not as if they've suddenly had an extra day's work thrust upon them. It's just a day for people who can't normally go racing to go racing. And that can only be a good thing if it's marketed properly. I think they should make an Easter carnival of it now they've got it. Don't just sort of have a couple of lower grade meetings. I know the Lingfield have pushed the boat out to put this great card on. But I think we ought to be expanding on that, make the whole Easter Carnival weekend, make it a big occasion. You could even, if you wish, sort of highlight the start of the turf season around it. Okay, I know the Lincoln's going to come earlier than that, but make it the first big carnival of the season, the Easter weekend. Easter, movable feast, I know all that. But, you know, try and make it something special whenever it lands.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of prize money on offer. We're going to get competitive racing. It's good for the all-weather jockeys and trainers that have been going all winter as well. It's a big prize to aim at for them.
It's good for people who don't get the chance when they're off work. So they're like, oh, there's a race meeting down the road. Let's try that. Make it public, punter friendly as well. Public friendly. Keep your prices down. Get them through the gates, and then you know they might come back then. But don't be overcharging them because it's a Good Friday. In fact, you know, let them in for next to nothing and just hope they come through the gates.
Yeah, get a crowd there, get some popular feeling behind it. And then eventually, I suppose, if it keeps growing, you'll get it on TV and stuff like that. And,
of course you will.
Yeah, so, okay, so we're for the Good Friday racing then in the final question of the Monday Jury. So that's the Monday Jury for another week. An interesting week coming up, and we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing now. And Mick's going to go to Exeter, so we'll get his thoughts in just a few seconds.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Tuesday then. Exeter is the meeting of choice, and the first race that Mick has picked out is the 2:30, and this is the City of Exeter Challenge Cup Handicap Hurdle, a Class 3 handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs, so almost a 3-miler. 18 of them in the lineup, Mick. A nice competitive race to start us off here.
Yes, quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's hope and pray that they all stand their ground, Mark. A really competitive looking looking race, isn't it? It should be a good betting heat as well. Some quality horses on show. The top weight Royal Player's got a rated of 130, and there's £20 between the top and bottom in the lineup. I'll start by looking at King Boru, who interestingly enough Richard Johnson is jocked up for Emma Lavelle, and Philip Hobbs has the top weight. Maybe they're going to claim off that. They didn't have a jockey when I came in to do this piece, but Johnson was already booked, and he was booked at the entry stage for King Boru, who's lightly raced. He's going the right way, this son of Brian Boru. He's only having his sixth start here on Tuesday and very much on the up. He's £7 higher than for his Taunton Novices Handicap win, but does have plenty of form after a break. We haven't seen him for 138 days, but the twice he's come back from a break, Mark, he's acquitted himself as though that's not going to be a problem for him. Okay. So he's going to be very much a player. Interesting to see how the market speaks about him. Last year's winner, Billy Dutton, comes for another crack at this. He won this in 2013 off a £3 lower mark. He is off 119 here, but he has been placed over fences off 120, albeit he was beaten a fair old way. But back here on the back of that win last time, 17 days ago, off the same mark. He won that race off the same mark, 113, and then he won this off 12 months ago. So he's just got to go and do it off 119. But we know he loves it round here, and he's sure to be on the premises. But I'm going to give the vote to Storm Alert. Lucy Gardner rides for her mum. She rides this track really well, Lucy. She's done me a few good turns there this season. He's 2 from 4 over course and distance. He is £7 higher than for his win here on the 21st of Feb, which on which day he did me a really good turn. But he's a likeable, consistent performer with a really good attitude, and I think there could well be more to come. And with the top weight being rated 130, Lucy's claim, he's only going to have 10 stone 7 or so on his back. I think he's got a real sporting chance. It's going to be a good betting heat, this, and I think Storm Alert's going to be very hard to keep out of the each way money.
Yes, okay, and Lundy Sky and him were well clear of the third on that occasion when he won.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it looks, and that was at Exeter, so looks good.
It looks like a horse going forward, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay then. So that's the selection in the 2:30 Storm Alert. And moving on to the 3 o'clock next. And this is a handicap chase over the marathon trip of 3 miles and 6 furlongs. Again, a nice competitive field, Mick. But Orange Nassau at the top of the weights there. Comes here in good form. Won 3 of his 5 starts this season. 2nd on one of the other occasions and 3rd on the other. And comes here in winning form at the moment.
He does. The only thing that puts me off him, Mark, he's on the shortlist, but the only thing that puts me off him is, 11 stone 12 on quicker ground round here. They're going to just go in at half a pace faster, just going to make life a little bit more difficult for him. Now his mark's into the 120s. He's got to race off 1-2-5. Staying is his game, though, isn't it? And he's got plenty of form going this way around, and it's hard to just forget the manner of the victory last time when he won by no less than 25 lengths at Market Raisin. He couldn't be in better form, could he? It's just that the big weight just puts me off over this marathon trip. He's going to be definitely one of the major players, but I'm just going to look it's probably something a little bit further down the handicap. Hopefully, will be an each way price.
Okay.
JMB comes into that category. Richard Johnson, the ideal jockey for JMB, who doesn't look the most straightforward of rides, but he's in great form at present. He had the misfortune also last time to run into Kenford Legend, who had won the time before and franked the form for me of that contest last time with a solid third in a very very well run race at Ayr last time on Scottish National Day. So the form around GMB is straightforward. He's got the perfect man on board for him in Johnson, and off 1-1-1, I think he's going to be my each way selection. Another one to mention is down at the bottom is Jaunty Journey. He's been around the block a bit. This is his 44th start under National Hunt rules, but he does come here in good nick at the moment, and he has gone close going this way around right-handed, but all his wins have been the other way around. But he's certainly not to be underestimated with only 10 stone one on his back down at the bottom. But GMB gets the vote for me.
OK, GMB in the 3 o'clock and the 3.35 next then. And this is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and one furlong. 15 in the lineup here, so we're robbed of that four each way place a little bit. But
might not need it, Mark, because I think it's a good thing here.
OK.
Take the crown down at the bottom, getting weight off everything. Heavily backed the last twice, winning both of them very easily. The last of them under Tuesday's rider, Dennis O'Regan, still looks a lenient mark of 95, the way he's been winning. And despite going up £16 for those two wins, he's only five, this horse, and there's every chance of more to come. And another big plus in his armoury is that he hasn't been beating rubbish around Faken and places like that. He's won at Toaster and Chepstow, two stiff tracks, which is just like Exeter. You know, you don't get fluky results for me around these sort of tracks. And I just think I think he's still in front of the handicapper to take the crown. So he's going to get the vote. A couple to put in the mix with him in race card order. Rugged Jack, trained by Victor Dalton, and Jack Doyle taking the ride. He's 1-from-1 over course and distance. Coming back in trip, that third last time was here, but it was over a little bit further. And I just think coming back to his winning trip will suit. And he was a 12-length winner, don't forget, on his penultimate start over this course and distance. And his last winning jockey as well, Jack Doyle, who was on board, is back, taken over from a claiming amateur. Very much respected Rugged Jack. Has got to give a stone and four to take the crown. Might be beyond him, but he won't go down without a fight. And the other interesting runner is Ben Becula, whichever way you want to call him. He was well back to land a competitive Wincanton novices hurdle on only his sixth hurdle race start. And now this horse was rated 80 plus on the flat. And there's every chance there's more to come. It looks as though these first few runs were just part of a learning curve. And he could well go forward from here. But he's picked a toughie to go forward in. I think this is a very competitive little heat. And I'm just I'm quite happy to stay with Take the Crown to land the hat trick.
OK, in form, Take the Crown then. In the 3.35, let's just have a quick summary of your selections then, Mick, if you don't
mind. It's good stuff at Exeter, really competitive stuff. The 2.30, we're going for Storm Alert, who's got course and distance winning form, and Lucy Gardner rides his track really well for me. In the 3 o'clock, GMB has got the perfect jockey on board for him, Richard Johnson. There'll be plenty of driving and pushing required by Richard, but I think he can get the job done in that 3 o'clock. I fully respect the top weight, Orange Nassau, but I am worried about his big weight. And in the 3.35, Take the Crown looks still to me to be in front of the handicapper, and I think he can rattle up the hat trick for Henry Oliver with Dennis O'Regan, who was on board last time when he won at Toaster in the saddle.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
I will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing at Exeter. You'll hear that and the rest of the day's action on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. And it will be Gary Capel, John Babb and Gareth Topham in the studio. Exeter, Kempton and Southwell, your three meetings. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.